Our luncheon topic today is City Update. Meet Kurt Triplett, our new city manager. Kurt Triplett has spent 17 years in leadership, policy development, and management roles in King County government, was hired by the Kirkland City Council as city manager in mid-June, and started on June 28th. He's gotten right into the swing of things as he appeared in the 4th of July parade, good move, and now joins us to speak at the Chamber Luncheon, another good move. At King County, he served as the interim King County Executive, Chief of Staff, and Deputy Director of Natural Resources and Parks. He earned his undergraduate degree in political science from this little college called Stanford University, and his master's degree in public administration from another nice little small place, Harvard University's John Fitzgerald Kennedy School of Government. So let's welcome Kurt Triplett.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you all. All that means is I have a lot of debt that I'm still paying off. It's just a thrill to be here, not just here at this meeting, but also to be with the city of Kirkland. And I especially want to thank my bosses here in the audience, the Kirkland City Council, who made the decision to bring me here. When they said, come say hi to the chamber, what they didn't really explain was that this was supposed to be a city update. And I actually need that too, because this is actually day 10 on my job. And on day one of my job, they gave me this and told me I needed to read it in order to do any of the work here at Kirkland. And so I'm still working my way through this. And if anyone would like a copy of this to understand how city works, you're certainly welcome. On day two of my job, they gave me this, which is the annexation issues and everything that's happening with the 33,000 people that we're going to be bringing into this community starting next June. So it has been a wild ride to get to know things. So I talked to Bill and I said, given my newness, what is it that I could say at the Chamber Luncheon? And so I'm going to just talk for about 15 minutes, and then what I really want to do is end with kind of a question and answer session. And I have a couple questions of this group as to how we can better serve you, and then also if you have any questions for me, I'd be delighted to answer them. And then finally, we have an incredible staff here from the city, Marilyn Beard, who filled in so ably in the interim, and several of the directors. So, thank you, Marilyn, for all you did. So if you do have a specific question about the city, we do have the team here to answer it. So what Bill and I agreed, I'm going to cover four quick topics. The first was sort of the why and how did I end up in Kirkland as the Kirkland City Manager. The second is really the strengths and opportunities I see in the city of Kirkland. The third is really the opportunities and challenges. What do I see on the horizon coming in from my regional perspective? And the fourth and finally, sort of what, how will I operate as the city manager, particularly with relationship to the businesses of Kirkland, and then followed by questions and answers. So how I ended up as an unemployed county executive to be the Kirkland City Manager. You know, the answer to that, as it is to most questions, is Hillary Clinton. And when I had the great privilege of being Ron Sims' Chief of Staff, Ron, as some of you who may have followed presidential politics, supported Hillary Clinton as a superdelegate in the primary. He was a superdelegate as King County Executive. Ron was an African-American superdelegate, and then when Barack Obama got into the primary, that was an extremely challenging place for him to be. But throughout the entire primary season, he stayed very firm. He had a long relationship with the Clintons and stayed as a superdelegate all the way till the very end. I tell you that story because when the election actually occurred, no one, particularly Ron, had any expectation that he would have a role in the Barack Obama administration, given his support. So we were all very focused on Ron Sims' re-election in 2009. He got a call in November of 2009 from a guy named Rahm Emanuel asking if he would come back and meet the president-elect in Chicago. Now, I had never before been involved in what happens in a presidential appointment process, particularly cabinet-level discussions, but it is intense. It is intense, and you have to be extremely secretive about it. There's Secret Service all over it. It was a wild time. To make a long story short, about three of us knew that Ron was actually having these conversations. And in my role as Chief of Staff, I was actually the first in line of succession. So the only reason I knew was if Ron Sims' plane went down as he was flying to meet the president, I might have to take over the county. So that was how I got introduced to this idea of Ron Sims may not be the executive. Things happened. It was a wild ride, which I'd be happy to talk to anyone about. But it concluded with Ron being appointed in February of 2009 as the Deputy Secretary of HUD. And I think we all are benefiting from the fact that he has that role. at that point, I had a chance to really figure out, what did I want to be when I grew up? Did I want to go back with Ron Sims to Washington, D.C.? And what did my wife and I want to do? And we decided at that point that we loved this region. We particularly loved local government service. We decided that we wanted to stay. And so Ron was gracious enough to ask, and we graciously declined going back to D.C. So at that point, I thought, I'll help the next man or woman finish out the term, and then I'll figure out what I'm going to do next. It didn't take very long, those of you who know much about the King County Council, to see that they were not going to come to a decision over who would be the next county executive very quickly. And there were several members who wanted to be the county executive. There were some partisan splits on the council, and so it was very, very challenging for them to come to any kind of agreement. So I offered myself, after long conversations with my wife, to be the county executive in the interim. And after an interesting time, they accepted, and I was able to be the seventh county executive for 7 months, and fortunately that term ended well, and I was done at the end of November. Because this is a business group, I will point out that I hold the record, which will probably never be broken, which is I was the only county executive that had double-digit losses of sales tax every month of my term. So 2009 was a fabulous time for the economy of King County in this region. So there were some interesting and exciting opportunities that came along as people realized I knew Ron Sims, as people realized that I actually worked for Gary Locke, who was now the Commerce Secretary at the same time. And so once again, I really got to decide what is it that I wanted to do. And in many ways, the Kirkland City Manager job for me was really a back to the future kind of job. When I actually left King County to go back to the Kennedy School at Harvard, it was with the goal of becoming a city manager or a utility manager. And when I was almost graduated, Ron Sims called and asked me if I'd be his chief of staff. And you don't say no to the county executive, just like you don't say no to the president. So I was very honored to do that. But it had always been my intention to find a nice city or a nice utility to run. And we were always joking about the goal after I graduated was to run a beautiful New England seaside city of about 50,000 people. And so we came back and we found it right in our own hometown. And so we feel very blessed, my wife and I, to be part of this. So. Once the county council, oh my gosh, I said county. So I have to keep working getting that out of my system here. So once the city council made the decision to hire me, it's been an interesting and fun time. So I started on June 28th, and the first thing I decided to do was launch what I call my Look, Listen, and Learn tour. And I started off meeting with the city council members. I got a chance to ask them very open-ended questions about their hopes and dreams, and what did they see as Kirkland's needs, what kinds of things did they want me to address. As they are my bosses. And one thing that I want to assure everybody in this room, what was interesting about those conversations, because as I said, I just said what, you know, very open-ended, is every one of them had a strong focus on the success of business in Kirkland, whether it was small business, big business, and all of them gave me some version of we need to do what's necessary to make businesses thrive in the city of Kirkland. And you've heard the mayor say all this many times, that Kirkland needs to be open for business. But what all of them charged me with is do what we can to make sure that it's successful. One other initiative I want to point out that Councilmember Wallen brought up, which is how do we know what the cost of doing business in Kirkland really is? And that's an assignment that got launched before I came here, but we're about a week away from hopefully having some way of knowing what is the cost of doing business in Kirkland, sort of from soup to nuts, and how does that cost compare with Bellevue, with Redmond, with other places in the region. So as soon as we complete that, we're going to be sharing it with our council, we'll be sharing it with all of you, and then we'll be trying to find ways to either make us more competitive or address any of the issues that arise out of that. So a very strong focus from the city council, and one that I'm going to take very seriously. So what do I see as the strengths and opportunities in Kirkland? First and foremost, as you just heard from Bob, is the community. I came from Seattle, from King County, and I have to tell you, there's just really nothing like it. One of the amazing opportunities you have in the county is to see all the communities kind of spread out, all 39 cities, unincorporated King County, the rural area, the forest, the farms. And I have never seen a community that is as involved and interested and engaged as Kirkland, whether it's your businesses, large and small, whether it's your neighborhoods, whether it's your community. Right from the very first day, as soon as I got appointed, Penny asked me from the mic, will you ride in the 4th of July parade with us? Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, I will. So then, as soon as we got there with my family, she didn't hesitate. She hit up my wife. She said, "Do you know how to drive a stick?" And Heather said, "I think so." I said, "Good, you're driving your husband in the car." And then my kids got to pick from a great goodie bag, and my five-year-old daughter got to put on incredible fun stickers and things. And it just made us feel so welcome and blessed, and it was a fabulous parade. We had a great time. We actually stayed and watched the fireworks, and it was a fabulous introduction to Kirkland. But the community that you have, I think, is just incredibly blessed. It's not just the diversity of businesses and the neighborhoods and the great schools. It's really that entire quality of life, the quality of life that makes people want to come here and makes people want to stay here. And, you know, that quality of life is one of the things that made me decide to come here. You know, I was fortunate to have some options, but there was only a few things that I actually really went after, and one was to be the Kirkland City Manager, in large part because of that quality of life. In our economic development department, we actually did a community survey that Jim Hebert did for us. And one of the questions that was asked of businesses is, how did you decide to be in Kirkland and why do you stay? And what we found is that 66% of the folks who responded said the owner of the business made that decision. And the vast majority of those owners live in the city of Kirkland. And that was the reason that they wanted to have their business here, to be close to their business and to be close to their clients. I highlight that because what it tells us is, unlike maybe, say, a Seattle business district or a Bellevue business district, it's the total package that has a huge impact on Kirkland businesses and the decision to stay here. And so as a city manager and working with the city council, we need to make sure we're concentrating on all of it to make sure that everything's working for business, for neighborhoods, so that people want to live here and found and expand their businesses here. And one of the things that I wanted to point out, or related to that, is, you know, in a city manager form of government, my job is to implement the vision of the city council. I think all of you have, hopefully, at your places, the adopted goals of the city council that they did at their retreat before I came. And it gives you a sense of what we hope to be working on and accomplish. I have 5 years and counting to accomplish all of these things. So I'm on the job. So keeping Kirkland with this world-class quality of life, you know, that's my number one job in all of its many facets. And all of these strengths make me incredibly optimistic about Kirkland's future. I mean, the Great Recession is affecting everyone, citizens, businesses, governments alike, but I think really there's a foundation here that makes me very bullish about this. The second key strength that you have here is your city council. I have had an opportunity in my 17 years to work with many, many amazing elected officials, particularly Mary Alice, who I feel honored to follow in this conversation. But your current city council really has a depth and a breadth of experience in both the public and private sector that I think is really unique and you should be very proud of. And it's a very proactive group. They're decisive. They're ready to take action. They're ready to make things happen. So I feel privileged to work with all of you. So thank you for picking me. You have an excellent city government, and this can't be underestimated. There's strong reserves. There's a very sound fiscal policies and financial planning. The Kirkland City government has a AAA credit rating and something that we're all focused on maintaining. And all of that has allowed the city to weather, as well as anyone can, the challenges that every government has faced. And believe me, I've been in a government that has not had those reserves and some of those opportunities. And it's pretty grim out there for public sector and as it is for the private sector. And the long history of fiscal discipline in Kirkland has, I think, served this community well. So those are really some of the sense, I think, of the strength that we have, which then also falls into your hands, which is the businesses you have here, the way you serve your neighbors, your clients, and the opportunities you provide for your employees. And I think that the future is limitless here in Kirkland, and I'm thrilled to be part of it. And the opportunities and challenges, what do I see on the horizon? These are going to be a little bit more regional in scope, but I'll start first with the city budget. And I'll be happy to come back and talk more about this. I would characterize the city budget as we know it today as really more of a steady-as-she-goes budget. It does appear that we're not going to be looking at major cutbacks again. It does appear that the revenues at least have sort of bottomed out and are rebounding a tiny bit, but there's clearly not an opportunity to do major restorations of some of the projects and programs we cut. And there are still many, many factors that make the city budget pretty shaky. So this is going to be an ongoing conversation I'm going to have with my city council. But I think, in particular, there are several different issues that were going to affect that city budget as precariously balanced as it is. One, talking with Representative Springer, is the $3 billion or more challenge facing the state government. Coming on the heels of, what was it, $4 billion last year and $2 billion the year before. It's just, we've just never seen in our history, you know, since the 1930s, the kinds of problems and challenges faced by the state governments. There's not likely to be a fiscal stimulus from the federal government. So we're starting to see the other levels of government really have to make dramatic cutbacks in just about everything they do. The King County government has got a $60 million deficit that they're not sure how to address yet. And so each of those things is going to have some implications for our own city governments, because many of the projects you see are combinations of city dollars, state dollars, federal dollars, particularly on roads projects or parks projects or trails projects. And so one of the things that I've asked all the departments to do is flag any of those revenues. You know, any assumption you have that you're going to get money from a government above us, you should not necessarily assume that. And we need to flag it, and we need to talk about it, and we need to make sure whether or not it's a conservative estimate that will actually come in. So moving from that city budget, which you'll hear a lot more about in September and October, we get to annexation. And before I even knew they were going to hire me, I thanked the Kirkland City Council for stepping up and making that annexation decision. From the county perspective, I think it was exactly the right thing to do for the region and for those citizens up there, and I think it will be the right thing to do for the current residents of Kirkland as well. So, but merging those 33,000 people into the city of Kirkland in June of next year is going to be a major challenge, and one that I'm excited to help with, but it's a big deal. Now, jobs and economic growth, I already addressed that, but that's clearly something that we need to be doing here in Kirkland, is making sure that there is an opportunity for, you know, more jobs, more development, more economic growth. And then the last two that I'll cover, and then I'll really turn it over to questions and answers, is what I see is kind of two sleeper issues. One, there's been a long conversation about the Burlington Northern Corridor, and I've worked with Susan and PSC on that and many others. This is an issue which is beginning to come to some decisions in the region, and appropriately so, and the Port of Seattle stepped up and bought that and got that corridor into the public sector. But, you know, 5 miles of that goes to the city of Kirkland, and what happens on that corridor is going to have a profound implication for Kirkland and its quality of life. So we're definitely going to be tracking that very carefully. The communities are involved. The city government's going to be involved. All of us are going to be paying attention to that. And then the final one that I see as a huge sleeper issue is the tolling on the 520 bridge. There's been a great deal of discussion about that. It's going to start in the spring, and much of the focus has been on diversion down to the south. Will people drive down to I-90? Will we have to toll I-90? I'm actually much more concerned about diversion up around the lake. And the reason I'm concerned about that is because I'm going to do that. So every time I come across the bridge, it's 15.1 miles to my house, from my house to City Hall across the 520 bridge. It's 16.7 miles to come up, around, and down. Now, if I have to avoid $10 a day to drive another mile and a half, I'm going to do that. And I'm wondering how many other hundreds of people are going to do that, and maybe thousands of people are going to do that. So one of the things I've already asked our Public Works Department to do is begin to really grind down on what has been the evaluation of the impacts to Lake Washington Boulevard, to Central, to 85th, to 405. What's going to happen as people try to go up around the lake and add on another 10 or 15 minutes to their commute to avoid paying 10 bucks each way or 5 bucks each way? So. You know, we're trying to be very proactive and get ahead of that, but I think that's an issue we need to think about for your employees, for our businesses, for our downtown and its congestion, because I think that's going to be a huge issue. And then finally, how am I going to be as a city manager? And then I'll stop talking. One is, I won't talk as much as this in the future. I like to be behind the scenes and let my electeds get all the glory. But I'm going to be very proactive. As I've already talked about, as issues come to me, I want to solve them. That's something I learned from Ron Sims. That's something I tried to do, and my time as executive is something that the council has asked me to do. So we're not going to be passive. We're going to be problem solvers. We're going to be very responsive, and as you bring issues to us, we're going to find ways to address them. We're going to be transparent, and that was one of my hallmarks, I think, of my time as the county executive, which is, you may not necessarily like what we're doing, but we're going to tell you why we're doing it. We're going to show you our work, and we're going to ask for your input, and then we're going to seek alternatives. But in the end, whatever happens, you're going to know about it, and you're going to have a chance to provide your input on it. We're going to try to become predictable. I think we've done a good job of that, but particularly for businesses, you need to know what it's going to cost. You need to know what your permits are going to be. You need to know what the status is going to be, and we're going to try to be predictable for you. And finally, we're going to try to be flexible. So that as you come to us with interesting ideas, We'll work creatively with you to find ways to make the stuff you need to have happen, happen. And finally, I talked to Bill Vedino about this. I can say all that, but we really need to walk the talk. And my goal as a city manager is to really build on what's happened before with Dave Ramsey and the city council to really do that, which is I'm still going to have the economic development position reporting directly to me to make sure that this is always something at the forefront of the city manager. I'll be having the regular meetings with the chamber board, with Bill, with Dave, and I'm going to be very much tracking what's going on in the business community, and I hope you'll bring issues to me, and then we'll try to solve them. So, you know, that's in the 20 minutes or less they gave me, kind of an overview of who I am, how I got here, and what I hope to work on and what I see in the future. So, with that, I will actually close it and then ask for questions from the audience if anybody has any. So thank you very much for having me here.
Let's go first.
Okay, go ahead, Todd. Thank you.
Well, nice to have you here. My question is on economic development, investments, and the budget. You mentioned that the city's general fund budget, I assume, is steady as she goes. Can you tell us about the status of the capital budget and the ability for the city to invest in the infrastructure that will help us grow out of this recession? Mm-hmm.
I would place the status of the capital budget and really in that sort of same category. You know, fortunately, a lot of the capital budget, particularly on the water, utility, and wastewater side, are funded through rates, which are not as don't go up and down as much with the economy. There's clearly been a challenge in keeping our level of investment in roads, which also comes out of the general fund and competes. So that is an area where we are concerned and where we're exploring with the city council whether there are some options to bring in new revenues and how do we deal with the issue of roads. And this is a place I'm very concerned because of the potential cutbacks at the state and federal level, because a lot of our dollars get matched, are enhanced by those governments. So infrastructure investment is a critical element of what the city council has asked for and what our government does, but it is, particularly on the road side, going to be one we struggle with over the next couple of years. But I don't foresee dramatic cutbacks, but I think the ability to continue to invest is going to be flat for a while.
So, slightly tongue-in-cheek, but it's actually serious in the end. Do you anticipate experiencing an out-of-body experience when you come to the legislature to advocate on behalf of cities, which will put you in opposition with counties?
I've already had a few out-of-body experiences about, I understand the city so much better just in my 10 days. And you were right. I can't believe it. You know, I think one of the opportunities I have, having come from the county, is let me just step back for 1 second. What really attracted me to Kirkland, beyond the amazing community itself, was actually how Kirkland officials, yourself and others, actually played a role in the region. And I got to see all 39 city governments all the time, and not every government is fond of King County, and not every city plays well with others. But what always happened with Kirkland is Kirkland elected officials and Kirkland staff were always key thoughtful players in these discussions. They cared about Kirkland, they cared about the region, and that was actually part of a government that I wanted to be part of. So they're not mutually exclusive, and I think what I have is a lot of insight into the county challenges and problems, but I have learned a lot just in 10 days about why the cities have the challenges they have, and I believe cities should help the county survive because the county plays a role that the rest of us can't, but I do see some of the arguments from the other side. It's going to be interesting. I got to sit and watch the Sheriff Rahr come in and speak to the Association of Cities, and that was my first out-of-body experience where I was just like, So it's an ongoing conversation. The flip side is I know where all the people are to call to bring in hopefully some of the money and the help and the actions that we need, particularly with respect to annexation. So, but it's a different hat.
Matt, will you be moving to Kirkland?
That's a great question. We are going to attempt to move to Kirkland, and the goal is to, oh, thank you. The goal is probably next summer. You can talk to some of the city council members about this. That issue kind of came up at the very end. It was a little bit of a challenging one with the consultant who ran the process, but we had already been talking about how to move to Kirkland before I got hired, and we had in our minds it was a little bit longer time frame because our kids were in school, and we bought our house in Seattle in 2006. I have three children now, and we had upgraded from a two-bedroom to a four-bedroom. So we're a little bit under at the moment. And another challenge I should have mentioned is Kirkland's affordable housing challenge. So yes, I heard that. So one of the things we're probably looking at is next summer when the kids are out of school and my oldest is done with elementary school, heading into junior high is a really good time to come here. So we're going to be working on that, and that is the goal to be here soon. Yes, sir.
Welcome to Kirkland, one of the surviving small businesses.
Thank you.
And I just want to pass along the comment that as a surviving small business, we are very, very sensitive to the word revenue enhancement. That means tax. Tax is a real pain. In particular, as you're analyzing the city's taxation, the head tax is a terrible imposition on businesses that do most of their work outside of the city, such as contractors, and still pay taxes in every jurisdiction where they work.
No, I think your comment is certainly well understood, both by me and by the city council. And that's why I said the city council all brought up this issue of what is the impact we're having on businesses and what do we need to do about it. So the great news is, as the city manager, I get to talk with the city council about it, but they're the ones who get to make that decision ultimately. But that is front and center to, I think, what Councilmember Wallen asked us to do, to really find out where can we make a difference to make life easier, at the same time maintaining the services and the quality of life that the rest of the city expects. So it's a difficult balance. But yes, ma'am. Yes.
My question is very simple. Will you and your family be attending the Kirkland Classic Car Show?
You know, we. So here's what happened. Okay. So I said to my wife, okay, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to go and I'm going to work like a dog Monday through Friday, and then you don't have to think about Kirkland on Saturday and Sunday. And then I met Penny. And Penny said, except for the 4th of July and Kirkland Uncorked and the car show and the... No, and in fact, we love it. So I actually just talked to Heather about that. And I think we are going to be there because our kids have never seen cars like that. And you know, we've really been investing time in Kirkland. When Kirkland had a furlough day on July 2nd, which I chose to participate in, you know, as part of my contract. And the great news was that was my wife's birthday. And so I actually had the day off on my wife's birthday, and I actually stayed here. We stayed here in the Whitmark to celebrate the whole new job thing. And we got to wander around the city. You know, we had ice cream at the Ben & Jerry's. We actually went and saw the Circle of Champions. I mean, it was a really great moment for just the two of us to come out and see it. And I bought my 8-year-old a skateboard for his 8th birthday, and we actually took him out to the Peter Cook Park, and his first skating was actually here in Kirkland. So, you know, we definitely are looking forward to experiencing as much of Kirkland as we can. So, so yes, you'll probably see us. I do have to do laundry in there somewhere, so we're trying to figure that part out. Oh, sorry.
Not at all. There's been murmurings in the underground that there can be a $20, $30, $40 per tab surcharge added for city revenue enhancement. As counsel to the council, how are you going to come down when you tell them yay or nay?
Well, we don't tell them yay or nay unless they want us to. No. You know, the conversation we're talking about is whether or not the city might form a transportation benefit district, which does allow by a council decision a $20 car tab. And if you go more than that, you need to go to a vote of the citizens. And so that is an issue that the city has asked us to explore, but certainly there's been no decision about whether or not we'd go forward with that. So I believe that's something that's going to come up in the September and October conversations with the city council. But it's out there as a tool. It's something that we're exploring for informational purposes, but there hasn't been any decision made yet one way or the other.
And you personally have not made a decision?
You know, my goal is to really lay out the pros and cons, you know, and I think that decision will be informed a lot by what we hear from the, you know, cost of doing business in Kirkland, and a lot by the services and the balances we'll have to make in the budget. So I am, you know, you asked about out-of-body experiences. It is a little bit different for me to be in a city manager role than to be in a executive or chief of staff role, which is it's not my job to decide that. It's my job to lay out the information clearly to the city council and then allow them to make that decision. So,
one more question.
Yes, as we know, downtown Kirkland is always having problems and it will continue, but Totem Lake is a big concern, and I think the council and the city manager has to move very aggressively towards to get Totem Lake moving, and I wondered if there's been some discussion about that.
There has, and the many things I could have covered, that's actually probably one I should have put up there, because right after Make Business Work, there was always, with everyone, a big focus on Totem Lake and making sure, as it's our designated urban center, to how do we get Totem Lake revitalized and moving again. So it's clearly on our agenda. I've talked with Eric. That was one of my first briefings from Eric Shields in our planning department. Totem Lake is a huge focus for us, and we're going to be working hard to make that go. So I actually had dinner at the Olive Garden and got the chance to drive around the Totem Lake area. So it's trying to really check all that stuff out and do what we can.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
You'll be here afterwards for questions.
Thank you so much for coming.